Recorded show is 1 hour long and will run continuously from December 24th all the way through to the end of Christmas Day. I can't wait. These shows will be the perfect mixtape for my busy night ahead. These shows will also make a great holiday soundtrack for your family get-togethers, too. Just tune in to 89.3 FM or stream it from WHFR.FM. You could even stream WHFR on those fancy phones I got you last Christmas. WHFR's winter season celebration programs, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, from your radio family here at the station that makes waves, WHFR Dearborn. Happy holidays, everyone!
This is Mia from Folk in A Minor wishing everybody a happy holidays.
Welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded show. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. Hi, I'm your host Lynn, and today we're discussing blessings in a backpack with Chris Burkhalter, Jack Linton, Ellis Cornell, and Pastor Colleen Neiman. Welcome, everybody.
Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. This is a project that I can't wait to share with our listeners. I think this is a really, really wonderful project. It's something that's worldwide, or at least nationwide, and active in this community. And we have a number of different churches and individuals who are part of this wonderful group. So, Chris, why don't we start with you? If you could tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you got involved.
Okay. I'm originally from Seattle, and I moved to Dearborn about 2 years ago, and through my church, Christ Episcopal Church, met Mike DeGeer, who was at that time the program coordinator for Blessings in a Backpack, and I got involved that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's see, next we have Jack.
Yes, I'm from First Baptist Dearborn, and I was the mission chair and of the church, and when Good Shepherd came to several of us churches with an idea to start doing a food program for Duval Elementary at that time, I was one of the early people to kind of join the team and try to pull that all together, which was really done as a contribution of food and then packed at a church and then at Good Shepherd and then brought to Duval on the weekends.
Okay. And Ellis?
Ellis Cornell. I'm from St. Paul Lutheran Church, and I'm the picker-upper. We pick up the food once a month, and I got involved because Pastor Neiman, 2 or 3 years ago, had asked me if I'd be willing to drive our van to pick up the food, and I said yes.
Okay. And Pastor Colleen?
I got involved when myself and three other clergy worked together to do a service in late December, the service of the longest night, after which the four of us spoke together about an opportunity that Pastor Kathy Charlefort had on her mind of joining together using some of the mission money that their congregation had received to begin a program of food security for our local school children. So it was Kathy Charlefort from Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, Diana Thompson from First Baptist of Dearborn, Terry Polarski from Christ Episcopal Church, and myself at St. Paul Lutheran.
Okay, so from a little seed, a little thought. How many kids are involved in this program?
We had about 140 kids last year, I think by the end of the year. For the 2014-2015 school year, we'll start out approaching 200. We'll see after a couple of months whether that goes up or down a little bit, but about 200 right mm-hmm. now.
If I could go back a step, I don't know that we established exactly what Blessings in a Backpack does. If somebody'd like to explain that part of the program at a very basic level.
Well, I'll start out and we can all chime in, right, folks? There are children in our schools who receive free and reduced lunch through a program that is available to them. And the way that a student is able to receive a Blessings in a Backpack weekend food package is through the principal working together with that list of students available to receive the free and reduced lunch, offering also for them to receive the weekend food security package. And at the beginning of the school year, the principals in the schools with which we work sends out a notice which is giving the families the option to opt out. If they do not opt out, then they can receive the package at the end of each week in the school year.
Okay. So the children take home a backpack on Friday nights, and there's enough food for presumably for Saturday and Sunday. For them, for the family?
What it really does is replace the breakfast and lunch meals for Saturday and Sunday for the student that they would have received at school if they were at school getting the free lunch program.
Okay. All right. So it's just for the student then, or the whole family is not involved? Okay.
That's all correct. Right. Just the student and a family that has three or four children, for example, in the free reduced lunch program could receive a backpack for each child, mm-hmm. but it's only for the children in the public school system.
Okay. So they receive their backpack on Friday, then what happens? So they have the food over the weekend, they go back to school on Monday, they take the backpack back?
Well, that's the way we started.
Okay.
And we found that was too difficult in getting the backpacks back.
Okay.
And then if they didn't bring it back, how did you get them the food on Friday? So what we have switched to is we actually try to give them, as many as we can raise, a backpack of school supplies at the first of the year, and then they get their food in just a regular Meijer's grocery bag, plastic bag, and that goes in the backpack that they take home, and then we don't need the plastic bag back.
Right.
So they get it in a plastic bag, grocery bag each week.
Okay. And how is the menu determined?
The National Blessings in a Backpack organization sets the menu. We have some ability to choose preferences based on several options, but the menu's changed a few times, and it's more or less the same menu as other Blessings in a Backpack programs throughout the country are receiving, though that does depend on who the grocery provider is. We work with Meijer. Mm-hmm. Some other organizations might work with a different grocery provider.
Okay.
In theory, it covers a couple of two breakfasts, two lunches, and there's a little bit more food as well.
I see. Okay. All right. What have you spoken to any of the children that are recipients? Have you gotten any feedback, pardon the pun?
We have gotten notes and cards and those kind of things back, but we're separated from the students by the school themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that, we don't know who's receiving it. It's all the school system that makes that decision.
Okay. So the principals of the two schools are the people that know who is supposed to receive?
Correct. Okay. Of the five schools.
Five schools?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
It started out with the elementary school that was closest in proximity to the four churches, which I mentioned previously.
Mm-hmm.
Christ Episcopal, First Baptist, Good Shepherd, and St. Paul Lutheran. And that was the Nowlin School. Duval School.
Yeah,
Nowlin
right.
is one of the recent additions.
Exactly.
And so that was the first year. And actually the first year we did ourselves without having affiliated with a larger program. We collected the food and did the distribution ourselves between the congregations and with that first partial year with that school that was close to us, which was Duval Elementary. The second year, then, we affiliated with the National Blessings in a Backpack program. And as Chris mentioned, there are several different incarnations of Blessings in a Backpack, but the one with which we affiliated with one in our second year. And then that year we had added Snow School.
Right.
And then the third year we added Long School. And now this year we've added two additional schools to come to the total of five, which is Whitmore Bowles and Nowlin School.
Okay. And these are all elementary schools?
Correct.
Okay. What happens when the children get out of elementary? Is there another program that they could be possibly included in middle school?
Not that we're directly affiliated with, unfortunately. There are other USDA-based programs, but I don't think anything that I know of that specifically focuses on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Possibly there is, but
right.
not something that we're currently involved in.
I mean, this is a very personal and very caring program. It strikes me as the children have to feel a certain amount of caring and love that's being given them, not just because of the food, but the idea that somebody cared enough to put together a program like that.
Yes, I like also that it's quite grassroots. The food's collected into bins, and each week those bins are taken to the schools by volunteers from the school. So that could be, in one case at least, it's the school administration. In other cases, it's like a PTA or a PTA-like organization. So the schools really are doing the service for these students at the schools themselves. It's not an outside entity that you don't feel some specific connection to.
Okay, and these are the people who are actually making the distribution?
Transporting the bags from the church where we pack them mm-hmm. to the school. Then the administration distributes them to the students to maintain that discretion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell me the flow. How does, we have a school, we now have five schools, and we have 200 children plus who are the recipients, and we have a list of the number that goes to each school. Okay, so now we know what we have, we know who needs. How do we start?
Well, sometimes it's starting with the steering committee meeting.
That's right.
And just touching base on what do we need, what's coming up next. So the steering committee is really important, and we're very grateful for the folks who have been a part of that effort. It is through the steering committee that we have planned fundraisers, for example. We do work with Meijer to receive the groceries, and we pay how much per child?
It's right about $2.10. Maybe it's $2.12 now.
Okay.
But that's per week, per student. So it comes to $82 mm-hmm. per year, per student.
Okay. Right.
But also then we have fundraisers to come up with that money to pay the grocer.
Right.
And examples of those fundraisers are that Good Shepherd United Methodist Church has dedicated each year one of their Friday night spaghetti dinners, the proceeds of that to go toward the funding of Blessings in a Backpack. And St. Paul has had two chili supper silent auctions. There have also been plans and still to come a golf outing.
Yeah, that's right.
Organized by Christ Episcopal, and there was a in on the planning stages too, a music evening at First Baptist, but can you speak more specifically about that? And that hasn't happened yet, but...
Well, what really happened was that when we got working with the principals, we decided to, instead of doing that, last year we had a holiday concert put on by the elementary school students at
Stout Middle School.
And that was a pretty good fundraiser that night. And then we also sold some Christmas cards that said, your money's going to Blessing Backpack. So it was... The other thing is, too, that we raise our funds a year ahead.
Okay.
So we already know that those 200 students that we're committed to supply lunches with this year are already funded. Now we're working on next year's funding.
Right. So the funding is important for one thing. As we mentioned, our first partial year, we went all through donation of goods, really,
mm-hmm.
and then got into the fundraising, which helped to sustain us to this point. But then after that, groceries get ordered and picked up.
We pick up at Meijer, and they usually come in on a Sunday for the month. And then I personally go over to make sure, because the grocery manager does not have voicemail and they're busy enough, they're not sitting at their desk waiting for me to call. So I go over and make sure it's there, and then we pick up on a Tuesday and deliver it to First Baptist Church and put it upstairs and kind of sort it into piles that make sense, you know.
And then I take over.
Okay.
And it's a lot of food.
It is.
Basically, we organize groups all year long to come in and pack. and I usually pack on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on what works for the group.
Okay.
And when the food comes in, we have tables and a room set up, and we pre-count all the meals out so the tables are all set up so that each item has got the right amount going down the table. And then the group basically lines up. The bags are already pre-counted by school. They just pick up a bag and walk down the row, fill it up, and put it in a bin at the end. And then we get the bins moved downstairs for pickup by the schools on Friday mornings. And if I'm really good, I've got it organized so there's food under the table that the group that just packed can lift it up, put it up on the table, and get it ready for the next week.
Oh, okay.
And that packing effort is a community-wide interfaith effort. There are certainly groups from our individual churches that sign up to do that, but there are also Girl Scout groups and Boy Scout groups and high school groups and community service groups that sign up through a Facebook.
Right. And even a few teachers and a lot of PTA folks show up. So
a book club. People.
Yeah, and a book club. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you sign up as an individual?
Yes. We need probably at least 4 or 5 people to pack, but we have had a couple people that just reached out via email, not with a group, and said, you know, I found out about this and I thought it was pretty exciting. I'd like to get involved. So yes, we can group you with another group, and we have done that, and it's been a lot of fun.
And let's say somebody was interested in helping out, let's say as a volunteer, where do they go? Let me have the address.
Probably the best way is to email, which is backpacksdearborn@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or you can also call Marty at Good Shepherd Church, which is 313-278-4350.
Okay. And she'll get you connected.
Absolutely.
Okay. You can never have too many volunteers. Okay, so we have Ellis in the van. He's picked up the food.
Yep, I'm in the van.
And we now have the food at First Baptist, and it's getting packed into the bags. Now, who's picking up the a representative from each school actually goes in?
There is one important part that we've left out. Panera Cares on Michigan Avenue has worked with us since we started.
Wow.
And they provide fresh, well, day-old bread to
it's pretty fresh
to each of the students, and we've arranged with them now that we take bins to them on Wednesday, and they actually pack separate items for each student and put them in the correct school bins for us, and then we pick up the bin and put it with the stuff that's already been packed.
Wow!
So that when the student gets something from the administration, you'll get a bag plus a bread item to that's no cost to us,
right?
It's all
right.
Free from Panera.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's another 501c working with the churches.
Yeah, right. A big shout out to Panera Cares.
Yeah, definitely.
Another point along that same line is that when we do pick up at Meijer, the people on the dock are more than willing to go back out and help us load the van. You know, they don't go to the Baptist church, but they'll take time off. And so if the grocery supervisor is there, he'll go out and help us load up. So they also are very helpful.
What are you picking up? Pallets?
A pallet.
Okay.
We put it on a hand fork truck.
Okay.
They put it outside, and it's wrapped. We take the shrink wrap off, and we just unload the cases of food into the back of the van.
Wow. But it's a whole pallet.
A whole pallet.
Which is quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give us the measurements approximately.
Oh,
so many
I'd say
feet
that,
high and
I'd
wide.
Say that it's a standard pallet, probably like 3 or 4 by 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the height, I'd say, is probably 40 inches. It's, you know.
A lot.
Chest high.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of food.
A lot of food.
Mm-hmm. Some of it heavy, like the canned goods, you know. Get like 24 cans in a case, so there's some heavy stuff, but there's light stuff like the oatmeal cereals in there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned 2 breakfasts and 2 lunches are included in. Give me a sample menu.
Yeah, actually, I have the new menu somewhere here. Sorry, shuffling paper. So let's see, 1 week might be raisins and juice and an easy prep macaroni and cheese. a can of tuna or chicken packed in water, some instant oatmeal, there's a variety of those, and some fruit and grain bars. Then the next week, we're now alternating weeks, so you don't get exactly the same thing each week.
Mm-hmm.
Would be canned fruit juice, a pudding cup, and then a canned pasta, some cereal, another fruit and grain bar, and then depending on what they send, either hot chocolate or a granola bar. And all of this then comes with the bread from Panera as well. And it's a lower sodium menu now. That changed in the middle of last year. Because there are things like the canned pasta. We had a lot of canned goods and the sodium amount was a little high. So they've reduced that substantially. So even now, for example, that ABC pasta is a low sodium pasta.
Okay, so an angle on health and good nutrition at the same time. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we talked a little bit about volunteers and how you can volunteer. Let me have those addresses again. It's an address and a phone.
Absolutely. And there's a Facebook too. So the phone number is 313-278-4350. That's the phone number for Good Shepherd. But Marty there will answer the phone and she can tell you everything you need to know about Blessings in a Backpack. Or you can email backpacksdearborn at gmail.com. That's a plural, more than one backpack, backpacks. And then our Facebook page has more information as well, which is www.facebook.com/backpack.dearborn.
Okay. Is there a webpage where we can get all kinds of wonderful information?
Right now it's just the Facebook page.
Okay.
So if you're a web developer and interested, we would love to hear from you as well.
Again, another volunteer opportunity.
Yes.
Okay. We talked about the ability to volunteer one's time, whether that's as a single person or as a group, a member of a book club perhaps, or a golf league or a bowling team. The opportunities are endless, right?
Yes.
Okay. What if I'm not able to do some of the work or what have you because of a work schedule or something? Am I able to make a cash donation?
Absolutely. Good Shepherd at that same phone number can process that. If you want to give a cash donation or write a check, Marty there processes all of our local donations. You can also go to the Blessings in a Backpack National website and give money online with your credit card there. And let me get you the accurate information for that. If you go to www.blessingsinabackpack.org, you can scroll down on the screen and there's a big button there that says donate. When you click on that, you can fill out your information. The important thing is under designation, you click other and then you write Dearborn Schools in the memo line there.
Okay.
It's for donating to the national website, and if it puts Dearborn Schools in there, it goes to our lockbox and we're buying food locally.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're giving to the organization at large, which is fine too, but we would love to feed the kids here in our community.
Absolutely. And you talked a while ago about how the plans are done well in advance. We know the number of children, we have the money raised, and we're ready to go into a new school year. What happens if a family moves into the community who qualifies for the lunch program and it's mid-year? Are you able to accept those children?
Yes, yes. The system's pretty responsive. The administration's able to let us know when either students opt out mid-year, which definitely happens.
Okay.
Their needs change. Maybe they don't need it any longer, or they have new students that do need them.
Mm-hmm.
The schools would get in touch with us every month or two and toggle the numbers a little bit here and there. As long as we still have the funding for it, yes, we're happy to accommodate that. If a school, you know, suddenly doubled its demand, that would be very tricky for us.
Right.
But we've always been happy to accommodate any changes.
Okay.
We really haven't run into an instance yet that we haven't had somebody call us from the school like the Tuesday before we're packing and we're able to meet that need. So we're really very responsive to whatever the schools ask us for.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. I was also thinking about the, you know, we had the volunteer opportunities of time, we have the donations of cash. Are there any sort of in-kind goods you're looking to receive, whether it's food or school supplies or what have you?
Well, school supplies is one thing. As we mentioned before, we're running a school supply drive over the summer, so we're giving out, we hope, as many as we can, fully stocked backpacks with all your back-to-school supplies based on a generalized list of what the teachers are asking for at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a drive we're running right now, and those same phone numbers and addresses would be a good place to get in touch if you wanted to donate for something like that.
Okay.
During the school year, we do run drives periodically, sometimes with the schools and sometimes in the churches, and they usually focus on something like jars of peanut butter or mac and cheese, something we can use to supplement that.
And with a little bit of fun involved.
Yes.
There is a competition that has taken place between the churches of who can collect the most hot chocolate and peanut butter and macaroni and cheese, for example. It's all in good fun, but what the competition does is it helps to bolster the collection.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun to get the youth groups involved in that if you can. There's nothing quite like a teenager, you know, announcing that they're ahead.
We've also had the elementary school principals challenge each other at different times to get their students and PTAs to bring food in. And same thing. I think, what was it? I think one of the principals had to wear the sweat T-shirt from the other school for a day or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Okay.
And that gives us an insight into really how this is a network of using different gifts to make a greater difference.
Mm-hmm.
We have several community partners. We've named a couple of them already, but that make the program hum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do anything for holidays, Halloween, Christmas, Easter, whatever?
Or some of Ramadan? No.
Ramadan.
No, because that would be an evening feast.
Right. I don't think we have anything that goes in the bags that specifically responds to the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we have to think about is holiday breaks.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, several times a year, there's a break of a week or two, and that means we can't distribute those bags on that Friday.
Right.
So we have to plan ahead for that, which Jack is sort of the mastermind of.
Okay. How does it work, Jack?
We just put twice as much stuff up on the table and double pack 1 week, and the pack is kind of heavy.
Okay.
When it goes home for 2 weeks. And the other thing is, too, that if we know there's a holiday coming up, we'll try to make the week or two before that actual larger distribution to the student. That's when we'll give them peanut butter or macaroni and cheese, or especially peanut butter needs to be given out in a different pack than when we're doing double packing, because it gets really heavy.
What happens if I haven't quite recovered from last Monday, so with our rains.
Sure.
What happens if we do have something like that, where we have a weather emergency, whether it's snow or rain, or for some reason it just doesn't work that particular day, school's canceled, for example?
That happened quite a lot last winter.
I bet it did.
Yeah. And we were lucky. I mean, Fridays are the days that really affect our system, so usually those school closures didn't all happen on Friday, but they did 1 week, and yeah, there was sort of a scramble. We didn't have a plan in place at that time, but we sent the bags out on Monday, I think, at two of the schools, and one of the schools just opted to hold them for the next week, so it's sort of at the administration's discretion what they can manage. So we would like that food to reach them. Some of the things like the bread, that gets tricky if it's been sitting in the bins all weekend.
Right.
It might not be usable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any other special attention things that have happened? Have you had any absolute disasters one way or the other, or fun things that have happened, funny things that have happened? There's something going on there. I can see it in your face.
It's been pretty well controlled.
Yeah. Well, picking up the bread picking up the food at Meijer is a big undertaking, and the bread is as well. So at one point, well, Jack usually picks up the bread, and you have a van.
Right.
And I have a much smaller car. And one week, you were out of town, and I was leading a pack and picking up the bread on the same date, and there was about an hour turnaround for that because, of course, Panera Cares closes at a certain point. So I recruited my wife to go pick up the bread, and so she had like bins of bread piled all the way into the driver's seat, and she loves bread, and so the whole car is just, you know, smelling sourdough and French bread and everything. And since that point, I think we've really seen the value of Panera Cares as a food source, and that's pretty much where we buy all of our bread now, so we have to stop there.
Okay.
Pretty often, all the, anyway.
All right. Have any of the other schools, whether it's a either kids from some of the school, the five schools that you're working with, or maybe a different elementary, middle school, something like that, have any of the kids from the other schools done anything to contribute to these particular bags or projects or the project as a whole?
We've had youth groups. We need to probably reach out to, and we've talked about this, to reach out to some of the high school groups and junior high groups, and see if maybe we can get a specific involvement. But other than on an individual basis, or some of the scout groups that are affiliated with the schools, I don't know that we've had a school group yet. But I think that will change.
Sure. You have high school key clubs and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We also keep referring to the national organization. Can anybody speak to the history of the national organization?
I could say a little bit. It started in Kentucky, I think in Louisville, but in Kentucky, I guess in 2005. Stan Douglas is the name of, or sorry, Stan Curtis is the name of the guy that started it. And there's a unnamed donor that contributed, a large amount of money, which covers the administrative costs. So they actually hold the bank account with which our money is in, and oversee a lot of those orders. I mean, we put the orders in, but they do a lot of administrative work for us to make that easier. And that doesn't cost us anything. If someone were to donate money to our organization, it's not covering the photocopies or somebody to fundraise or somebody to make the calls to order the groceries.
Okay.
It only pays for the pallets of food.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a lot of churches, and we have Panera Care, so we have a lot of nonprofits who are actually making this whole thing happen. Are you involved with the business community in the area at all? Are there small businesses that are also included in this?
There are some small businesses, definitely, that that have contributed in large and small ways to help out with us. We would like to expand that as well.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of a newcomer to town, so I don't have the deep history with local business leaders, but I need to be more intentional about that. We definitely have, for example, a printer that either comps us the paper or, you know, can get it to us at a lower cost. Panera Cares is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the business leader organizations in the community have definitely been involved. Anything else that I'm forgetting?
You know, Myers gives us, you know, the packing bags for free.
Okay.
So that's there. And, you know, that the National gives us the backpacks for free. So we're not ever buying backpacks. Those are coming from the central fund nationally. And basically, you can be assured that when you give us money, it goes directly to food. Even the small administrative costs that we have for our own local organization, we got two grants from basically one from Good Shepherd through the Methodists and one at First Baptist through the American Baptist. So we've got grant money that we're using for the little bit of, you know, like buying bins to put the food in and that kind of stuff. And so we haven't spent any food money for anything but food since we started.
That's phenomenal. That's fantastic. Sometimes you see national organizations or whatever that are just, you know, 50% goes to administrative mm-hmm. overhead, and it's like, nah, I want my donation to help somebody, and you know, we're actually helping the kids with this, which is wonderful news. Mm-hmm. Okay, we talked a little bit about some of the kids that are involved and the kids that come in and go out of the program. Have any? How long has the Dearborn program been in existence?
3 years.
Three years.
3.5 years. Mm-hmm. It was that longest service of the longest night, which I mentioned, where we had our initial conversation about it, mm-hmm. where Kathy Charlefort brought up the idea, was the December of 2011.
Okay. All right. So some of the kids have moved on from the program, and I was just wondering if any of those kids have had any contact looking backwards.
I'm not really sure, because if they did, I mean, they don't know who we are.
Right.
We don't know who
right.
they are. So it would be through the administrations at the schools, and so it's possible, but I don't know of a specific story.
So the kids don't know about the group itself, then, that the church, various churches are involved in putting this together?
I suspect they know that.
Okay.
They just don't.
Well, know. They're little kids.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't know who you know, Jack is or okay. else. Some
of them must, though, because at First Baptist in the pack room, there's thank you drawings or cards that the kids have sent for the wonderful food up on the wall.
Right.
So
right
some on. Do respond.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
We work very hard not to know who's getting the backpack.
Oh, of course.
And so it makes that whole question of, you know, that relationship, direct relationship to students, unless they, you know, actually send a card through their principal to us, mm-hmm. we really don't know.
And that's
what's
as it should be. I was just thinking about some of the kids that are now in eighth grade or whatever, and it's like, I remember when I was in third grade and this happened and it was a good thing, and you know, maybe they wanted to get involved somehow or mm-hmm. what have you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I look forward to that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We are talking to a number of people today about Blessings in a Backpack. So excited about this program, finding out so many things, so many ways to help 200 kids in our own neighborhood. When we talked about some of the changes in the menu, we were talking about reducing some sodium, that sort of thing. What about special needs menus where you have either a religious dictate or perhaps an allergy or something like that? We talked about peanut butter, and you're distributing peanut butter, which I gave out some peanut butter something one time for Halloween, and this kid just, his hands backed away from the basket like I had fire in there or something. So talk about some of the special needs.
Well, as Jack was mentioning in our conversation a little while ago, there is an opt-out letter that goes to the families from the school administrators, and there is a question of dietary needs or allergies. And to date, we haven't had an issue with a peanut allergy, but if that came to the fore, we would adjust the menu appropriately to almond butter or sunflower seed butter or some
okay.
other protein source.
Okay.
What happens is that the school staff lets us know what the requirements of a particular student or group of students are, and then we adjust the menu for that student or group of students accordingly, and we actually pack the number of bags we need like that in separate bags marked differently, and actually put them into their own bins by
okay.
school, so that when the school gets them, they know which bin to go to for the specially packed menus.
Okay.
And you know, once a student is on that kind of a menu, we know they're going to be on it all year, and it just becomes part of our process
okay.
and how we get the food out.
Well, if somebody has a vegetarian requirement, for example, how would you distinguish that bag? How is it segregated from the rest of the bags?
With a giant V.
A giant V, okay.
Yeah, usually, you know, if it's, depending on the kind of, you know, restriction it is, it's pretty obvious. We'll pick a letter, yeah, vegetarian, that's V. Peanut allergy, we might put a P on it, you know.
Okay.
So right. something that's big and obvious so that everybody knows how it's coded for the students.
Okay, and you're still cognizant with some sort of a master menu, for lack of a better term, where your requirements for protein and various vitamin groups are all being accommodated, even though there's something, quote-unquote, out of from the regular bag.
The national organization, as I said before, sets the menu mm-hmm. with those things in mind, and there's a vegetarian menu that is also handed down from national,
oh,
so
okay.
they look at that. I would say, looking at it, that probably doesn't have quite the same amount of protein in it that a non-vegetarian would, but as someone that doesn't eat meat myself, I recognize that that's just the way it goes. But we can definitely accommodate with a set menu variations, and they tend to not be overwhelmingly different. There tends to be one or two items that we do differently that would
okay.
have that wouldn't have meat, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can accommodate a number of different meal plans for whatever reason.
Okay, all right. And we were taking a little bit of a tour of the national site and found that there's some actual blessings in a backpack swag out there. So, in fact, we're looking at a T-shirt here that you can't quite see on the radio.
Yeah, I guess I'm the one that started this conversation because I have the T-shirt on. If you want to know more about Blessings in a Backpack, there is a very good website. Just type in Google, Blessings in a Backpack, and you'll get right there. It gives you a lot of information about who we are, what we are, and kind of how we came to be. So there's a lot of information out on the national website, along with plenty of opportunities to give to your local Blessings in a Backpack group. And since we are hopefully not just broadcasting to Dearborn residents, if you want to give to Blessings in a Backpack for your community, you can look down through their community groups and pick your own if you wish to.
Okay.
I know there's a group in Redford, there's a group in Taylor, there's another group in that's North Woodward. So there are three or four other groups around the Detroit area that are doing this. And if you want to buy a T-shirt, you can order one there, too.
Okay. T-shirts, and we saw cookbooks.
Yeah.
Oh, posters.
Oh, yeah, and posters.
And it's a brand-new T-shirt design, so it's pretty cool looking, too.
Are you going to get one?
I'm going to get one, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Wanted to thank Chris Burkhalter from Christ Episcopal.
Thanks.
Jack Linton from First Baptist. And Ellis and Pastor Colleen from St. Paul Lutheran. So thank you all for being
welcome.
Here. This has been a great learning experience, and there's so many good things out there. I'm tired of hearing all the bad news. This is good news. So we just get online, call Marty, and we're able to get you connected if you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to make a donation. And that telephone number for Marty is 248-854. Oh, the other number. Let me have the other number. Pardon me.
313-278-4350.
Okay. And if we are interested, again, in volunteering, what's that Facebook?
Facebook is facebook.com/backpack.Dearborn.
Hi, this is Mark Hall, producer and engineer for Impact. We couldn't hear the name Marty Boynton Tamarolio all those many times and not be curious. So what you're about to hear is Lynn's telephone interview.
Okay. Marty, thank you so much for being part of Impact. Impact is a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And got to tell you, we talked to some people already about Blessings in a Backpack. And this is one group that certainly is making a difference in the community. When we spoke with Chris and Jack and Ellis and Pastor Colleen, they all said that you have to really talk to Marty to get the big picture about the whole thing, because everybody talked about their own little contribution to what
mm-hmm.
happens to make the Blessings in a Backpack work. So tell us a little bit about the background and the role of Good Shepherd and the role of Marty in this whole thing.
Okay. All right. In 2011, Good Shepherd United Methodist Church received $1,000 from our new district superintendent, along with 40 other churches, with which we were charged to set up some kind of community ministry. and the money could not be used for maintenance, etc., of our church building.
Okay.
We eventually invited Christ Episcopal, First Baptist, and St. Paul Lutheran Churches here in Dearborn to join us in our endeavor of feeding the children of Duval School, who are on the federally, the ones that are on the federally funded breakfast and lunch program.
Okay.
There were 22 children involved from one school, and we worked from a storage room at Good Shepherd. Needless to say, the whole project mushroomed.
Okay. And I understand there are now 5 schools and about 200 children who are being serviced.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have more firm answers as far as numbers are concerned after the kids turn in their applications for the federally funded program.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And we did.
It doesn't always carry over. Circumstances change and so forth.
Exactly. Yeah. And we did talk about that with the other members of the group, where the kids do have to qualify. You don't decide who does and who does not get serviced by the program, but
That's correct.
Happens through the federal lunch program for free and reduced lunches.
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us how you personally got involved with this.
I was at the meeting. It was a big rally when we got our new district superintendent down at Metropolitan United Methodist Church. And when she said, I have $20,000 to give $1,000 to 20 churches, who wants it? I think that was the first one down front.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, I was there at the group. I got my picture taken in front of the altar with $1,000.
Okay.
And we brought it back and said, what are we going to do with this money? And we hemmed and hawed and tossed and turned and fiddled and finally came up with feeding the kids somehow.
Okay.
We always have been about feeding people. We have a food pantry. We do a spaghetti dinner. It just flowed. And Duval School's right down the street from our church, so
exactly.
That made sense, too.
Right. Okay.
We have kids of our own from the church that attend there. We have kids from our neighborhood that attend there. And so when we talked to the principal, to Dan Hartley, that was when it started to grow. And we were able to put it into effect in the spring of 2012.
Okay. All right. I know, too, that you mentioned a little bit ago that you were starting the food distribution from Good Shepherd, and that's been moved over to First Baptist.
Yes.
Tell us about that transition.
We got too big.
Okay.
With 22 kids, we could handle it in one of our storage rooms.
Okay.
And just bring the food out, and, you know, and different groups came in, and sometimes it was our Logos kids help, and sometimes it was choir, sometimes who was ever, you know. But when we added Snow Elementary School, and that came about because the principal is a member of Christ Episcopal, and she said, hey, I've got kids.
Okay.
That was when we decided to go national, and that was when we moved over, once we saw how much food we were going to be getting, we moved over to First Baptist. And we did a big tour around of several different places to see which one had the best location and the best access and so forth.
Okay. And we did talk about how the food comes in, and it's a full pallet that comes in once per month for distribution. So it is a big operation.
It's huge, yes.
Okay. And any feedback from any of the kids or the parents or any of your members who are part of the program?
Everybody here at Good Shepherd is on board. A couple of years ago, Pastor Kathy challenged us anonymously. So don't put her name in it. We received a challenge to that $5,000 raised by us would be matched by this anonymous donor.
Okay.
So don't put in Pastor Kathy.
Right. Okay.
We more than did the $5,000. People just want to be part of it. Nobody wants to see a kid hungry.
Right.
It's been real easy. I mean, it takes a lot of work, but planning and all that. But actually getting people to give us money is not hard. Because it's for the children and it's to feed them, and that's important.
That's basic.
As far as feedback from the kids, during that first year when it was just Duval, a little girl came up to the principal and said to him, Principal Hartley, this is the best food I've ever had on a weekend.
Oh.
Every time I say that, I start to cry.
Sure. Wow.
I mean, it was a box of macaroni and cheese and a can of ravioli or something like that, and a couple of kinds of soup and a couple of kinds of cereal, you know, single serving things, and a couple of snacks, and that was it, in a backpack for the weekend.
And that's more than she said.
The best food she'd ever had on a weekend.
Right.
I was flabbergasted.
Right. Chances are it was some of the only food she's had on a weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. But that has to be incredibly gratifying at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It absolutely is.
And then we see how it's moved. Yeah. So this is sort of, can we say this is Pastor Kathy's legacy then?
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Because everybody has worked really hard on it.
Okay. All right.
And, I mean, we had the seed money, but we brought in the other three pastors and their churches real early on in the planning stages mm-hmm. of it. So, mm-hmm. I don't think she even considers it her legacy.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great that it's continuing, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any of the organizational challenges or organizational aspects that you'd like to talk about?
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I don't think, I mean, I'm on more of the administrative end. I don't, because of the hours that I work at another job, I'm not involved in the packing and the delivery or any of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The first year when we did it, before I started working the second job, I was able to be involved in more of it,
mm-hmm.
but that was when it was real simple, basically.
Right.
You know, we packed 20 bags here, 22 bags here, and took them over to the school. It's a big deal.
Right.
It's become huge now, and the schools come and pick them up at the church at First Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a website where people can go on and sign up to volunteer to pack the backpacks. And groups and individuals and all kinds of, it runs pretty smoothly. It takes a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village.
Absolutely.
But it does work. And because it is based pretty much completely on volunteers, it's done out of love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's bringing them a paycheck to do this.
Exactly.
This is strictly a love gift from everybody. And
and we did talk about some of the little groups that are involved to make the
mm-hmm.
whole process go, from the scouts to various church members to a book club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
church choirs, youth groups, all kinds of people. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And not necessarily connected to any specific church. Sometimes it's a community group. So.
Mm-hmm. And this is the community. So
yeah.
we talked last time, too, about some of the special needs so far as dietary requirements and that sort of thing, and how you are accommodating vegetarians, anybody with nut allergies,
right.
anything like that is accommodated by the program. So that's
yeah.
that is true love. It's not just throwing a bag at somebody and saying, okay, here it is, and
thank
that you don't have any choices.
Right.
Okay.
We also try to make sure that we have halal options available,
mm-hmm.
and that winds up mostly being the vegetarian, but at least it serves that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us about the Blessings in a Backpack program, either from the early days or the future days, where you hope to go with the program?
I hope it goes all over the place. I love the different documentaries and videos that are posted about the national programs and about the various places that people are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Dearborn, it's not just Michigan, it's all over the country. And that part of it is just wonderful.
It's so exciting to be part of that national group, too.
It really is. We're just a small cog in a giant, giant, giant organization. I would say my one thing that I would like to say is send your donations. Make them out to Blessings in a Backpack. Send them to 1570 Mason Street, and they will be sent right to National. And all the money that is donated goes straight to the food. There's no administrative costs to worry about. They're covered.
Right. Marty, give us that address one more time.
1570 Mason, Dearborn. 48124.
Okay, thank you very much. And we've been speaking with Marty. Is it Marty Boynton?
Tell Amarolio.
Me. Oh, that's nuts.
Okay. Amarog, silent. LIO.
Okay, thanks. And we've been speaking with Marty from Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, a church that was on the starting level, on the ground floor, if you will, of the Dearborn involvement of Blessings in a Backpack. Marty, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you for doing the show. You might want to talk to Dan Hartley at Duval.
Okay.
I think he's back in the office this week.
Okay. That might be an interesting angle to pursue, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And
have a blessed day.
So what you're about to hear next is our interview with Principal Dan Hartley from Duval Elementary.
From your perspective, as principal of Duval, tell us about how Duval got involved and basically how you personally got involved in this program.
Okay. Gosh, it's been a few years now. I was approached by the pastor of Good Shepherd United Methodist Church, which is just right down the street. They were looking to start an outreach program. Had heard about Blessings in a Backpack, but it started kind of informally. We didn't start with, there is a national organization, Blessings in a Backpack, but we just kind of started on our own, where we worked with that church, as well as we got a couple other churches on board, St. Paul Lutheran.
I think
what's the other one?
First
Christ Church.
Yeah, Christ Episcopal and...
Yeah, Christ Episcopal
first,
and Dearborn. And
First Baptist,
First
I think,
Baptist
were there right
Dearborn.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm. But at first, it was just us and Good Shepherd, and they had received a grant and were looking to put together a program to help feed children and families that were in need. So the school's role kind of became the go-between, the liaison, working with the families, identifying the families that were in need, sending letters to them, you know, letting them know that this type of aid was available. And then working with the church to help, you know, get these backpacks full of food ready. They would drop them off at the school, and then we would get them to the students and families that we identified every Friday so that they'd have food over the weekend.
Okay.
So at first we were the only school.
Mm-hmm.
So we had about 30 of our students that they, at Good Shepherd, collected food for, and we passed them out to our students for that first year. At the end of the year, the word was kind of getting out, and we had recruited a few more churches in the area, kind of figured out that there was this national organization that we could work with, and wanted to go bigger. So we contacted Snow Elementary School, which is a nearby elementary school in our area as well, and they have about 100 kids that they now have participating in the program. Duval's a little bit smaller of an elementary school. So that second year, we got more churches on board, did more fundraising, and between the two schools, we were able to feed about 125 students. And we've just grown from there. We now have Long Elementary, now in elementary. We're bringing Whitmore Bowles Elementary on board this year as well. So we'll have now 5 elementary schools and close to 200 students that we're going to be feeding on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the shell of the program anyway. A lot of it is, you know, the churches do fundraisers, and it's the power of 80. So for $80 a year, we have a partnership through the national organization with Meijer, and Meijer provides the food for us, and at a very low cost, really, of $80, students get a backpack. Well, now a grocery bag that we put into their backpacks, but they get a bag of food every Friday that you know, includes some breakfast, lunch, and dinner options for them for the
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Mm-hmm. Marty was telling us about the little girl who went to you, I think, and said that it was the best food she had ever had over the weekend.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, those are the heartwarming comments you get. You know, we did have one of our students that first year. Actually, was going into the second year, asked, when are the backpacks starting again? And I said, well, they'll be starting up soon. And she said, oh, good, that's the best food I've ever had. You know, so you really do see it making a difference with some kids and some families. You know, I it's a big stress. Parents have told me off of them at home, you know, it's not a lot, but it does, you know, provide a little bit of extra help for them, taking a little bit of pressure off of them as well. Mm-hmm. So even parents have said how appreciative they are of the program. And yeah, you get those cute comments from the kids that definitely warm your heart and, you know, make you realize why, you know, that all this effort is for a really good cause.
Right. From an academic perspective, we mm-hmm. know that children who are well cared for, children who are eating well and getting proper sleep, et cetera, generally perform a little bit better in the classroom. Have you seen a change?
We have had increased academic performance every year since I've been here, and we've started Blessings in a Backpack my first year. So, I definitely think it's one of the factors that has contributed to our increased success. Is, you know, like you said, students who are hungry aren't able to concentrate. Their mind is elsewhere, and you know, we definitely see students, the ones that are receiving more focused, you know, more prepared for school.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fantastic, because that's what it's all about, is making a difference academically and physically for their little bodies to be properly nourished. They're going to have a better life.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about the program, your involvement, any of that?
No, I mean, I think we basically covered it all.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely been exciting to see the program grow year after year, and bringing more, you know, more organizations on board and more schools on board and able to feed more and more kids.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully within a few years we'll be feeding all the schools in Dearborn.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate this. Again, thank you for being here today with me on Impact. Mark Hall, thank you so much for producing Impact. And thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is a pre-recorded show.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Henry Ford College, we are your broadcast and internet station, proudly presenting alternative variety programming, little else heard on the Detroit area radio dial, right here at WHFR.FM or at 89.3 on your FM dial. And we thank our Henry Ford Board of Trustees for giving us this privilege to be able to present this programming to you. My name is Susan McGraw, and I am WHFR's general manager. If at any time you have suggestions, ideas, you need information, whatever I can do to serve you, our wonderful loyal listener, please don't hesitate to reach out. My direct telephone number, 313-845-9842. 313-845-9842. Or email anytime at scmcgraw, M-C-G-R-A-W, at hfcc.edu. Happy listening.
We'll start the orchestra with music by Juan Manen. This is the National Chamber Orchestra of Andorra.